يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت أقدامكم. Oh, you who have iman, where are these believers? Where are they hiding? Oh, you who believe, if you help Allah, He will help you. How do we help Allah? By helping His deen, in whatever way we can. If you have a skill for teaching, then study the Quran and teach it for Allah's sake. If you have a flair for writing, then study the Quran and write about Islam for Allah's sake. If you cannot go out and teach, then teach your servants, teach your children. In tansurullah, but do something before it's too late. Help Allah's deen, He will help you. He will take care of your children. He will take care of your matters. وَيُثَبِّتَ قَدَامَكُمْ And He will make firm your feet. He will grant you the strength to do all this. But those who disbelieve, for them is destruction. وَأَضَلَّ أَعْمَالَهُمْ And Allah will make their deeds vain. This is because they hate that which Allah has sent them. So He has made their deeds fruitless. People who are intimidated by hijab, who are intimidated by the Quran, have they not traveled through the land and seen what was the end of those before them? Allah destroyed them completely, and a similar fate awaits the disbelievers. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَأَنَّ الْكَافِرِينَ لَا مَوْلَى لَهُمْ This is because Allah is the protector of those who believe, and the disbelievers have no protector. So who do we wish to be? The ones whose friend Allah is, or ones without a friend? Certainly Allah will enter those who believe and do good deeds to gardens under which rivers flow, while those who disbelieve enjoy themselves and eat as cattle eat. In other words, without consideration of halal and haram, standing, just having a good time, just satisfying their own desires, gratifying their own lusts. وَالنَّارُ مَثْوًى لَهُمْ And the fire will be their abode. And many a town, stronger than your town, which has driven you out, we have destroyed. And there was none to help them. أَفَمَنْ كَانَ عَلَىٰ بَيِّنَةٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ كَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ Is he who is on a clear proof from his Lord, like those for whom their evil deeds that they do are beautified for them, while they follow their own desires? Is there a comparison? Someone who is following Allah because he knows this is from Allah, following the Quran, following the Sunnah, and someone who is just doing what he feels like doing, what he is ready to do? مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وُعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ The description of Jannah which the Allah conscious have been promised, and Allah doesn't break His promise, is that in it are rivers of water, the taste and fragrance of which are not changed, rivers of milk of which the taste never changes, rivers of wine delicious to those who drink, and rivers of pure honey. Therein for them is every kind of fruit. وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ And forgiveness from their Lord. Are these like those who shall dwell forever in the fire and be given to drink boiling water so that it cuts up their intestines? Now we can choose for ourselves. What do we wish? فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ One group is in Jannah and one group is in hell. And right now, the choice is ours. وَمِنْهُمْ مَن يَسْتَمِعُ إِلَيْكَ And among them are some who listen to you, till when they go out from you. They say to those who have received knowledge, what did he say just now? Such are men whose hearts Allah has sealed and they follow their lusts. See how Allah knows us in and out. When we attend Quranic gatherings, we listen to this knowledge, but we're not really listening. We're thinking about something else, totally distracted. And so when we go out, we say, what was that? I didn't catch that. Allah says, such are people whose hearts Allah has sealed. They're listening to the Quran, but they're not absorbing it. And they follow their own desires. While as for those who accept guidance, He increases their guidance. وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ And He bestows on them their Allah consciousness. Do they then await anything other than the hour? That's when they'll start listening to the Quran properly. When they see the angel of death standing before them, do they await anything other than the hour or the day of judgment? That it should come upon them suddenly. But some of its signs have already come. Look at the abundance in earthquakes, floods, world disasters. And when it is actually upon them, how then can they benefit by their reminder? فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Know that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah. and ask forgiveness for your mistake and also for the sin of believing men and believing women. And Allah knows well your moving about and your place of rest. Those who believe say, why is not a surah sent down for us? But when a decisive surah is sent down and fighting is mentioned therein, you will see those in whose hearts is a disease of hypocrisy looking at you with the look of one fainting to death. They like to pretend that they'd love to serve Islam, but when the command actually comes, then they can't bear the thought. But it was better for them, obedience and good words. And when the matter is resolved on, then if they had been true to Allah, it would have been better for them. Would you then, if you were given the authority, do mischief in the land and sever your ties of kinship? Such are they whom Allah has cursed, so that He has made them deaf and blinded their sight. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا? Do they then not think deeply about the Qur'an? Are their hearts locked up? Now let's apply this ayat to us. How often do we think deeply about the Qur'an? We read the Qur'an and proudly we say, oh, I read 5 Qur'ans this Ramzan. Do you know how long it took Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu to read Surah Baqarah? 8 years. Why? Not because he was a slow reader, because he was reading it and acting upon it. How do we read the Quran? We read the whole sipara, Sadaqallahu al-Azim, let's go home and Allah must really love me today. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ? What's wrong with these people? Why aren't they thinking about it? Why aren't they contemplating it? أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا? Or is it that their hearts are sealed? When do you seal some letter? When you've got nothing more to say. Or is it that our hearts are so engulfed in these darknesses of ignorance and stubbornness and prejudices that it makes no difference to us whether we read or we don't read? See, this contemplation of the Quran is something that's very important to understand. I'd like to read out an extract from Jeffrey Lang's book, Struggling to Surrender, in which he says, you cannot simply read the Quran, not if you take it seriously. You either have surrendered to it already or you fight it. It attacks tenaciously, directly, personally. It debates, criticizes, shames and challenges. From the outset it draws the line of battle, and I was on the other side. I was at a severe disadvantage, for it became clear that the author knew me better than I knew myself. Painters can make the eyes of a portrait appear to be following you from one place to another, but what author can write a book that anticipates your daily vicissitudes? The Quran was always way ahead of my thinking. It was erasing barriers I had built years ago and was addressing my queries. Each night I would formulate questions and objections and somehow discover the answer the next day as I continued on in the accepted order. It seemed that the author was reading my ideas and writing in the appropriate lines in time for my next reading. I had met myself in its pages. We too are in these pages of the Quran, either hypocrite, either sinner, either saint or scholar. Right now, the choice is ours. I had met myself in its pages and I was afraid of what I saw. I was being led, working my way into a corner that contained only one choice. Is that the way we read the Quran? Reflecting upon it, analyzing it, challenging it, contemplating it, pondering it? أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ? What's wrong with these people? Are they not contemplating the Quran? أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا? Are their hearts locked? Are their hearts sealed? Or are they too busy doing other things? Indeed, those who have turned back as disbelievers, after the guidance has become clear to them, Shaitan has beautified for them. Lots of time to obey, lots of time to turn to Allah, and Allah prolonged their term. This is because they said to those who hate what Allah has sent down, we will obey you in part of the matter. I'll be a Muslim when it's time to pray, but on New Year's Eve, then I'll be someone else. But Allah knows their secrets. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا تَوَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ? Then how will it be when the angels will take their souls at death? So that's it now. End of story. The pen's being taken away. No more chances. If we did not turn to Allah, too late. How will it be when the angels will take their souls at death, smiting their faces and their backs? This is because they followed that which angered Allah. Not they believed in, they followed that. What are we following? We need to think. And hated that which pleased Him. When we hear of Allah's commands and we think, oh no, now I know I'll have to think about it. They hated that which pleased Allah. فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. So he made all their deeds in vain. He is Malikul Muluk. He does not need a half-hearted ibadah, nor does he need a hypocrisy. Allah says he made their deeds fruitless. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. When we believe in part of the book and reject part of the book, Allah says, I don't want any part of your ibadah. Or do those in whose hearts is a disease of hypocrisy, a sickness, someone with true heart problems, think that Allah will not bring to light all their hidden venom? They think they're concealing it from people, they're fooling people. Had we willed, we could have shown them to you, and you would have known them by their signs. But surely you will know them by the tone of their speech. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. And Allah knows your deeds. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ حَتَّى نَعْلَمَ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَنَبْلُوَ أَخْبَارَكُمْ. Surely we shall test you until we know those who strive hard, whether doing intellectual jihad or spiritual jihad or military jihad, and the patient, those who are constant, and we shall test your facts. Indeed, those who disbelieve and hinder from the path of Allah and oppose the messenger after the guidance has been shown to them, they will not harm Allah in the least, but He will make their deeds fruitless. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَلَا تُبْطِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and do not make your deeds in vain. Don't spoil the good deeds you've already done by disobeying Him in others. Indeed, those who disbelieve and hinder from the path of Allah, then die while they are disbelievers. فَلَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ. Allah will not forgive them. So do not be weak. Do not ask for peace, and you will have the upper hand. Allahu ma'akum. Allah is with you, and He will never decrease the reward of your good deeds. No compromise, no apologies. The life of this world is but play and pastime. Wa in tu'minu wa tattaqu yu'tikum ujurakum. If you believe and are Allah conscious, He will grant you your rewards, and He will not ask you your wealth. One zakat that Allah asks of us, 2.5%, and we can't even give that. If He were to ask you all your wealth and press you, you would stingily withhold, and He would bring out all your secret ill will. What does Allah tell us? لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You can never attain goodness until you spend some that which you love, not all that which you love, some part of it. هَا أَنْتُمْ هَؤُلَاءِ تُدْعَوْنَ لِتُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يَبْخَلْ. Amongst you are those who are called to spend in the cause of Allah. Everyone should think of themselves. Yet among you are some who are stingy. Whoever is stingy, it is only at the expense of his own self. He doesn't want to benefit himself in the hereafter. وَاللَّهُ الْغَنِيُّ. Allah is rich. أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ. You're all the beggars. وَإِنْ تَتَوَلَّوْا. And if you turn away, يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُ أَمْثَالَكُمْ. If you turn away people, He will exchange you for some other people, and they will not be your likes. Surah Al-Fath. إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ وَيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ وَيَهْدِيَكَ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا وَيَنْصُرَكَ اللَّهُ نَصْرًا عَزِيزًا. Indeed, we have given you a clear victory, that Allah may forgive you your mistakes of the past and the future, and complete His favor on you, and guide you on the straight path, and that Allah may help you with a mighty help. It is He who sent down calmness into the hearts of the believers, that they may grow more in faith along with their present faith. And to Allah belong the armies of the heavens and the earth. And Allah is ever all-knower, all-wise, that He may admit the believing men and the believing women to gardens under which rivers flow, to live therein forever, and He may expiate from them their sins. وَكَانَ ذَٰلِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. And that is with Allah a supreme success. Now what does Surah Fath refer to? We need to understand the background of the surah first. We find that the Prophet ﷺ had a dream one night in which he saw himself with other Muslims doing the Umrah, performing the Umrah around the Kaaba. Now for 6 years the Muslims had been debarred from entering Makkah. So you can imagine, since the Prophet's dreams are true, you can imagine the joy with which this news was received by the Muslims. So the Prophet ﷺ set out with 1400 of his followers. Now at first the Muslims were confronted by a dilemma. They did not know whether they should take their weapons with them in case the Meccans attacked them, or that they should not take their weapons with them. So what they decided to do was they went out armed with nothing more than their traveler's swords. Now when the Meccans learned that the Muslim pilgrims had set out from their city, they were shocked. They realized that they were coming for Umrah. Now the Meccans were in an equal dilemma, because if they prevented the Muslims from performing the Umrah, they would face the censure of the Arabs that, you know, the custodians of the Kaaba had violated the truce month. They were the months of peace. However, they decided not to allow the Muslims to enter the city. And so they sent out a cavalry group under the command of Khalid bin Walid to stop them. But the Prophet ﷺ learned that the cavalry group was approaching, and so he asked his followers if someone knew of another way to Makkah. And then one of them did, and he guided the Muslim pilgrims through some narrow passes until they reached a field called Hudaybiyah. The famous Pact of Hudaybiyah was made over here. Now what happened was that a message was sent to the Muslim camp by the Meccans. They brought back their cavalry. But they sent a message ordering them that you're not going to be allowed to enter Makkah. The Prophet ﷺ sent Hazrat Usman to talk to the Meccans, to negotiate with them and, you know, persuade them that let them do Umrah. But what happened was that he was delayed, and some of the Muslims feared that he had been killed. And when the Prophet ﷺ thought that Hazrat Usman had been killed, he gathered the Muslims under a tall tree and he took a pledge from them that if the Meccans had killed Hazrat Usman, then the Muslims would fight back, and they would fight back till the death. And this was called Bay'atul Ridwan, and that will be mentioned later on in the verses. Now what happened was, Hazrat Usman returned, so they did not need to carry out that pledge, but an official delegation from Makkah arrived. And that's when the Pact of Hudaybiyah was drawn up. Now what were the basic terms of the Pact of Hudaybiyah? And this is important to understand, because this is what the whole surah deals about with. The main points were that there would be 10 years of peace between the Muslims and the Kafirs. No hostile move would be made by either side. Both sides would be allowed to make alliances with whom they pleased. And any Meccan man who left and joined the Muslims without the permission of his family would be forcibly returned. But if a Muslim went and joined the Meccans, then he would not be returned. Now you can see the injustice of that. And then that there would be no pilgrimage this year for the Muslims. Those Muslims who had come with the hope of finally seeing the Kaaba after so many years would be returned. But they would be able to perform it the following year for 3 days. Now we read this pact, and ostensibly it seems harsh and unfair against the Muslims. To make matters worse, right after the pact had been drawn up, one of the Meccans, Abu Jandal, who had become a Muslim and who was being tortured by his family, managed to escape to the Muslim camp and threw himself before the Prophet ﷺ, imploring him that keep me with you, don't send me back. If you do, they'll kill me. And the Prophet ﷺ had to send him back. And he had to tell him, Abu Jandal, be patient and control yourself. Surely Allah will make some way out for you and for the weak in Makkah. We have bound ourselves to make peace between us and the Meccans, and we have exchanged the pact of Allah, and we will not break that. And so Abu Jandal had to be led away in front of the weeping Muslims. Now you can imagine the response of the Muslims to this fact. That when it was over, they had to watch a fellow Muslim being taken away, and they knew he was going to be tortured. And to make matters worse, no Umrah this year. They had to return home in seeming humiliation. So the Muslims were just standing around in shock disbelief. And the Prophet ﷺ told them that, you know, it's time for you to shave your heads now. Because even if we haven't done Umrah, we'll give them. And that's as we've read in Surah Baqarah, that if you're prevented from reaching the Kaaba, then this is what you do. No one budged, just out of sheer despair. Now this was the first time that the Prophet ﷺ had ever been confronted with such a situation where he had given the command and the companions didn't listen. Now they didn't listen out of rebellion, it was just that they were so shocked by what had happened to them. So he went back to his tent and he told Hazrat Salima, and this was again we see a proof of his trust in his wife, that he didn't just say, well, I'll solve this on my own. He went back and consulted her. He said, they're not listening to me, what should I do? And you can imagine his pain at that point. And Umm Salima gave him such wise advice. She said, go back and start yourself, and when they see you, they'll follow. And this was what happened. But still the Muslims were reeling from the shock. In fact, we find that a person of the caliber of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu actually came to Hazrat Abu Bakr. He said, is he not the Prophet of Allah? Are we not Muslims? How can this happen to us? Why is something so unfair being allowed to happen? And Hazrat Abu Bakr tried to calm him down. But Hazrat Umar was so upset and that he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to him, "Are you not the Prophet of Allah? Why are we being made to suffer like this?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that, "I am the messenger of Allah, and Allah does not break his promise to his messengers." And then these verses were revealed. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. We have given you a clear victory. Now you read this ayat and you think, how? How was it a clear victory? That they had to watch a fellow Muslim being taken back. They had to return without having had the joy of doing Umrah. The kafirs had won out on every point. How was it a victory for them? This is where Iman bil Ghaib comes in. We find that this was the first time that the Muslims were acknowledged by the kafirs as a government, as a power to be reckoned with. Before that, they used to just dismiss them, "Oh, this is just this minority group that we can just wipe out." But this was the first time that the kafirs thought them worthy of having a pact with. Then we find that these 10 years of peace were very crucial. See, in these 10 years of peace, the Muslims were given time in which to take stock of themselves, in which to build up their resources, build up their economy. And because there was for the first time peaceful interaction between the Muslims and the kuffar, we find an amazing number of people accepted Islam during this period. So much so that just 2 years later, when Fath-e Makkah took place, from 1400 companions, there were 10,000 Muslims. Now that's a far cry indeed. Then we find that what happened was that Abu Jandal and another Muslim, the ones who had to be forcibly returned, they managed to escape from the Meccans and they managed to go and settle themselves elsewhere. And there they used to harass any kafirs who passed by, and they became a fairly strong group themselves. Then we find a few weeks later a woman became a Muslim in Mecca and she escaped to Medina. Now when her relatives showed up and said, "Well, we want her back," the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed out to them that in the treaty it said that any man from Mecca who became a Muslim, so that woman could not be returned. And we find during this period an amazing number of women converted to Islam. Basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a message here. What's the message? Asan takrahu shayan wa huwa khayrun lakum. Maybe you dislike something, although it is good for you. Wa asa an tuhibbu shay'an. Maybe you love something. Wa huwa sharrun lakum. Although it is bad for you. Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. At the end of the day, Allah knows and you do not know. So Allah says, "Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina." We have given you a clear victory. This treaty which seemed humiliating, which seemed unjust, prejudiced against the Muslims, Allah says it's a clear victory. That Allah may forgive you your mistakes of the past and the future and complete His favor upon you and guide you on the straight path. And that Allah may help you with a mighty help. هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It was He who sent down peace in the hearts of the believers that they could increase in faith along with their faith. Allah is telling us that Iman is not something that's supposed to remain stagnant. That you think, "Oh, I've done so much for Allah and now I can take a rest." No. Iman is either progressing or we're regressing. And to Allah belong the hosts of the heavens and the earth. And Allah is all-knower, all-wise. لِيُدْخِلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ جَنَّاتٍ. That He may admit the believing men and women into gardens under which rivers flow, to abide therein forever, and He may expiate from them their sins. وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فَوْزًا عَزِيمًا. That is the supreme success with Allah, not our superficial worldly standard. And that He may punish the hypocrites, men and women, and also the mushrikeen, men and women who join others in worship with Allah, who think evil thoughts about Allah. Now why has Allah mentioned the hypocrites over here and the mushrikeen and the mushrikat? See, when our faith is weak, when our iman is weak and something happens that we cannot understand, that we cannot rationalize, that we find it hard to accept, then what do? We start thinking evil thoughts about Allah. See, we find that, for instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Hadith Qudsi, "Ana inda zanni 'abdi bi." I am according to my slave's concept of me. We start saying in problems, "Oh, I was just born unlucky and Allah isn't listening and Allah doesn't care." People say Allah doesn't wish to guide me, so many times I want to read Salat, but something always goes wrong. Allah says those who think evil thoughts about Allah, Not even those who say them aloud, those who think evil thoughts about Allah. For them is a humiliating torment. And upon them is the anger of Allah. وَلَعْنَهُمْ وَأَعْدَّ لَهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ And He has cursed them, and He has prepared hell for them. وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا And worst indeed is that destination. When we look at the prophets, we find that whether a prophet was in the darkness of a whale's belly, whether a prophet was at the peak of physical suffering, he'd lost everything. How did they call upon Allah? La ilaha illa anta, subhanaka, glory be to you. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin, I was of the wrongdoers. What does Ayub alayhi salam say? Rabbi, anni masaniya durru wa anta arhamu rahimin. Pain has touched me, just touched me. But you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. What does Yaqub alayhi salam say? Inna mashku basi wa husni lillah. He tells his sons, don't despair of the mercy of Allah. So the way we call upon Allah when we are in pain reflects the level of our iman. Those who assume that Allah is not going to help them, those who assume that Allah is punishing them, or that they assume that, you know, Allah is being unfair to them, Allah says, and for such people there is no mercy. وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Who is it that people try and take on when they say, oh, I'm angry with Allah and I'm not going to pray today and I'm going to ask Allah about this? Who is it that they're taking on? مَلِكُ الْمُلُوكِ The King of all kings. To Allah belong the armies of the heavens and the earth. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا Allah is almighty. He can punish us if He wills. حَكِيمًا All wise. If something has happened in our life that we cannot understand, then Allah knows best. God moves in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. Maybe many years later we realize that that thing actually happened for our own benefit. إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا Indeed, we have sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a witness. His first function as a witness, to convey this Islam to us, to hand this torch on to us, and now we are the witnesses. وَمُبَشِّرًا And the bringer of glad tidings. See Allah's joyous perception of Islam, that you don't start by frightening people, you start by giving them good news, by encouraging them, by inviting them to Allah. وَنَذِيرًا And as a warner, because Islam is a balanced religion. Allah doesn't say, well, sin if you want and I'll forgive you everything. مُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا Good news and warnings. In order that you, O mankind, may believe in Allah and His Messenger, and that you assist and honor Him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that you glorify Allah's praises morning and afternoon. What was the message of all the prophets? فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ Fear Allah and obey me. That reverence is for Allah, worship is for Allah. What is the means of worship? That's the means of the sunnah. La ilaha illallah means we love Allah above all. We fear Allah above all. We obey Allah above all. How do we obey Allah? Muhammadur Rasulullah. By the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna alladhina yubayi'unaka innama yubayi'unallah. Yadullahi fawqa aydihim. Indeed those who are giving a pledge to you, who were giving a pledge to you, they were giving a pledge to Allah. The hand of Allah was over their hands. Then whosoever breaks his pledge, breaks it only to his own harm. And whosoever fulfills what he has covenanted with Allah, He will bestow on him an awesome reward. What pledge is this? This is the pledge that has already been mentioned, Bay'atu Ridwan. That when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam feared that Hazrat Usman had been killed, and he took a pledge from the Muslims underneath the tree, and what was the pledge? That we will fight them till the death if they have truly killed our man. Now if you think about it, look at the way Allah speaks of that scene. Indeed those who were taking that pledge from you, they were taking a pledge from Allah. Yadullahi fawqa aydihim. Subhanallah. Allah's hand was over their hands. What honored people, what lucky people, to have Allah's hand over their hands. Now it's not for us to say, well, what does Allah's hand look like and could they feel it, could they sense it? This is a mutashabihat, an ayat in which we believe, we accept, but we don't speculate. And we don't start discussing and arguing and saying, no, I want to know the exact meaning. It's an ayat that's shrouded in mystery, and our response has to be, we accept it and we believe in it, without questioning it. Allah's hand was over their hands. Then whoever breaks his pledge, breaks it only to his own harm. And whoever fulfills what he has covenanted with Allah, فَسَيُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا, he will bestow on him an awesome reward. Now the Muslims weren't even called upon to fulfill this pledge, because Hazrat Usman was still alive. But still, see the way Allah loved them, for that instant response of theirs to the Prophet ﷺ when he asked them to make the pact.